new component regarding funding for landowners, which hadn't existed before, which allows landowners to apply for cost-sharing funds, as we call them, which means basically they put some of their own funding in, and then this public funding is available to complete the project, whatever that project might be. It could be installing a buffer, simply putting in seed, which is pretty straightforward. It could also include some alternative practices, structural measures, and things like that. So the website is pretty self-explanatory. It's easy to get to and more directed at landowners, and the cost-sharing funding is related to them being able, landowners, that is, to comply with the law with some public assistance. I should mention, too, a couple of things that are related to that. One other public funding component that was additive earlier this year was the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, which brought in, is bringing in, actually, federal dollars to match and state dollars for conservation easements. That program is underway now with signups, and we'll have our, our first batch of those sometime later this month that will be selected for enrollment. The other part of this cost-sharing provision, which is relevant to the policy, is that the legislation that was passed, again, this year, a couple of minor adjustments to the law, one of them included this waiver provision, which allows for landowners to, if they're needing some additional time or help or assistance to get their compliance achieved, can extend the period of the deadline beyond the November 1st of 2017 deadline for public waters, which is, of course, this fall, or the November 21st deadline for public ditches is next year. We can make those two basically the same by landowners applying for some assistance, and this is now one more form of that. So those things are a little bit related to policy and the funding. And then one last thing I'll mention is that we just recently completed the process for counties and watershed districts to make a decision about electing jurisdiction to carry out the law. That time period was in statute prescribed to be the end of June in order to receive the funding that the legislature provided to those local governments to do that work. And we had 72 of the Minnesota's 87 counties say yes, that they would. And, of course, that means 15 that said that they will not be, at least for the time being. The statute allows for an election of jurisdiction to be either begun or canceled with a 60-day notice. So, but we believe that that's a pretty good sign that most of the local governments are ready to do this job. And the law was designed to be done as a local program. So we're pretty pleased with that. So with that, I'll take any questions.
It's Bill Werner with Minnesota News Network. Say, on the funds that are available, can you explain, you mentioned briefly that I think that you said the landowner would have to absorb some of the cost and then there were additional funds, but how does that work in terms of the cost sharing and what's the application process just generally where if a landowner wants to start it, where do they go?
Good questions. Actually, we suggest that for this program and others, you know, because there are other programs out there as well from the federal government and local governments, is to go to the Soil and Water Conservation District in each county. They're located in each county seat. They're very well equipped and have been for decades to help landowners with conservation programs and technical assistance. And so that's the place to go. And they have a very simple process. An application is made, and a decision then hopefully will be made shortly thereafter, within 30 days typically. The cost-sharing portion is in the neighborhood of 75%. So if a project were to cost, let's say, $1,000 to put in, 4 or 5 acres of seed, the public assistance in this case would be $750 approximately, and the landowner would put in $250. Now, the $250 in this example I just gave you, or any other example, can also include in-kind. So if they want to do some of the seeding themselves or they have some other contribution to the project, that can also count as part of that cost sharing.
My question is, if I may also, applying for this money, is this then, does this automatically guarantee an extension of the deadline, or is that a separate process, or can you explain that to us too?
That's a good question. So this is one form of what would give you eligibility for that waiver or that deadline extension. Other assistants can also do the same thing, and that would include technical or financial assistance coming from other sources, such as the U.S. Department of Agriculture is one very common source. There are also some other local sources. And so those are ways to get an automatic one-year extension, you know, until, of course, the project is commenced and finished, and then, of course, there is no need for any further extension. The one other thing I should mention is that the statute change that was made this past year did also include another extension period that has to do with more of a site-specific challenge that a landowner may have, whether they're getting assistance or not, and that's a peer policy provision, which says that if a landowner has identified that they won't be able to get the buffer in for, you know, extenuating circumstances to their site, they can seek an extension to July 1st of 2018, by filing a compliance plan with the Soil and Water Conservation District. That's not dependent on any financial or technical assistance. That's simply a landowner seeking to get an extension because of extenuating circumstances on their site.
Thank you for clarifying that. Appreciate it.